Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm just going to go right into today's message. I've got a few pages, and I, and Glenn really did set me up for this last week. And so, how was your Monday? Last Monday? No, really. How was your Monday? You guys remember last week? Glenn ended it with say, "Hey, how's Mondays are the most dreaded day of the week." And how was your Monday? There was our Monday right there. See it? That's a stack of approximately 15,000 pounds of food. That's what our Monday was. Yeah, that was awesome. It was we had a good Monday. That was the start of our Monday. So I was calling on anybody that had the day off. That's good. That's a good word. I don't know what that means, day off, but I think it means you don't have to work that day. That's what I've heard. I even called my friend Steve over there. He's in the back. Hey, Steve, come on over. Take some pictures and slap it in the paper for us. So thank you, Steve, for that. Was a good article. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. So today I'm going to talk about that. What is our job? What is our work? What does that look like as a Christian to have to go to work every day and to have to do a thing called a job or a vocation? I want to ask a question. Is it a separate thing altogether to where our work and our work for God, are they totally different things altogether to where I work for God or we do work for God, but yet then I go to work and do that job as though it's not really the work for God? And that's kind of, you know, I've been in this series of debunking myths and talking about issues that I think as Christians that we've developed in Christianity. All of us deal with this issue from a different perspective. I believe it. And it's very evident. It's an obvious thing. Some of us, we go to do a job every single day of the week. You know, you'd be considered, you have a job, a vocation, a trade, something that you have to do you every single day of the week, right? Some of us are that. Some of us are retired, where you don't have to go to work every day of the week. Amen. Yeah. There's even some in this room that are disabled, to where you are legally and recognized by the government and by that you aren't required to go to work. You don't need to go to work, and you're able to not have to go to work every day of the week, right? There's some of us are students. Hey, kids, you guys with me? I want you guys to really listen to this today, okay? I'm going to keep glancing over here. So listen to me, young guys and gals over there, because this is a part of your life, and you can even apply this to being a student. And you know, some of us are full-time parents. We're stay home. So the issue affects and impacts, and it deals with everybody, every single one of us. Some of us come from it. We're looking at it from a different perspective. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the same objective. And so follow me in this. Follow me in this. And our objective ought to be this. And it's in Colossians 3:17, where he says that in everything that we do, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's that actually saying is, in everything we do, in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. So in everything we do, and all aspects of our life, every issue of our life, every moment of our life, we ought to be doing it for the glory of God, doing it in the name of Jesus. If you do everything in the name of Jesus, you're doing it in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. It's as simple as this. Every time I go and do what I do on a regular basis during the week, which is my personal vehicle, other than a motorcycle, is a big white truck that has the salt mine's name on the sides, the back, and the front. Basically saying what? Everything I do in that truck is in the name of the salt mine, right? Now we as a person, because you know, it's salt everywhere I go, everywhere I drive, and if I try to hide, I can't because it's got the salt mine on it. And everybody, I get people that jump out of their cars going down the road. They'll actually stop and they jump out in the front of me and wave me down and say, "Stop, stop. I've got a bag of food I need to give you," or "I got a bag of clothes I need." I literally get that. I'm used to it. It doesn't surprise me anymore. You can ask Steven. He's like, "Good grief, you can't go anywhere without people." It's like, yeah, I know. But I love it. It's a part of what I do. Take that little bit of illustration, that small illustration, and apply it to in everything we do, do it in the name of Jesus. Just think about it for a second. You guys following me with this? So I really want us to get into this in a way that it enhances our life as a Christian. If you claim to be a disciple of Jesus, you might be sitting here this morning and saying, nah, that's not my claim. You might be interested in then being a disciple of Jesus. You might be interested in what that looks like. Well, I'm giving us something that I believe it's supposed to look like. And so for those of us that are Christians and we claim to be disciples of Jesus and desire to be a follower of God, this is what it's supposed to look like. Okay, so I've got a lot of scripture, a whole lot of things that we're going to talk about in issues of this and will help us get a right perspective. I want to first take the word. This is very interesting. And it's very simple to do this as a study. But I took the word work, looked at where that came from and where that started from. It actually started way back in the beginning of the Bible. The Bible, at the very beginning, God went to work. Do you realize that God is a worker? I don't know if you realize that. I know God is spirit. We know that. And that might, so some of this stuff might even like rub you a little bit wrong. And that's okay. If you get rubbed a little bit wrong, just know that it's more than likely a good thing. Maybe you've had something that you've developed as like, I don't know if I like that. That's all right. That's what I call the gritty factor, the grit factor of God the Holy Spirit getting involved, getting into our stuff. How many of you like God getting into your stuff? Oh, you guys are liars. You know, you don't like it at all. I don't like it. No, I do like it. I do like it because it's a good sense that when God gets into my business, I like that because there's this, what that is God the Holy Spirit, and this is good stuff, guys, affirming you as a child of God. When God gets into your business, it's His affirmation that you are a child of God. For God's love is one of, I love you so much, I'm not going to let you just go your way and leave you alone. That's the love of God. And he talks about that in Hebrews. Is no one undergoes discipline. If you don't undergo discipline, if you don't undergo the God in your business stuff, if you don't go undergo that, if that doesn't get in, if that's not in your life, the Bible refers to you as an illegitimate child. Basically, a orphan. You don't belong to God. If God's not in your business, then you don't belong to God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that. How dare you say it? We're all God's children. And I'm quoting what the Bible says, even though I didn't refer to the verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, by the way. Or no, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. You'll look it up. Go ahead and read the whole chapter. Just read it. Go home and read it. And come back at me and say, hey, you're right. I want you guys to do that. So this word is called, it's a Hebrew word. It's called avodah. It actually means worship and work. Just thinking about this, have you ever thought about that as there's a connection? Is worship work or is work worship? They are in connection. They are connected to each other. They're in correlation to each other. So let's break it down. I'm going to give you some root words that are derivatives of the word avodah. Basically, they all kind of are clumped into the word of service, of serving. So listen to this. One of the words is oved. Oved is a worker. So, and that's a derivative of avodah. An evid is a slave. Here's the deal is work involves the idea of serving someone. And this is great, this term. Avodat Elohim is the service or worship of the true God. That's awesome. That's a derivative of the word avodah, which is work and worship. Avodah Zara is literally strange worship. We don't want any part of that. Because that's a part of what we need to look into is this. And so avodat Elohim is idolatry or the worship of false gods. So this worship of false gods is in essence of serving the devil himself and leads to avdut, which is what we call bondage. Interesting, huh? So this worship or work of the true God in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, get this, is hard work. Is actually hard work. think about it for a second. You say, well, but Pastor Eric, we're saved by grace and not by works. We're not supposed to do anything. We're just supposed to sit and let God just flop everything in my lap. Here, God, if I spread out enough, God can bless me enough, because I'm just supposed to sit in an easy back recliner and do nothing, right? When you worship God, isn't it require an action on your part? An intentional effort. I am here to advocate, and I'm here to share with you guys, I believe it with everything in me, that authentic, genuine worship requires aggressive intention to seek in, press in, and go after the things of God. Amen. And that is in every area of your life. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this as someone who I go through it all the time. I've gone through it. I go through it. I am in the midst of it on a regular basis. I have to intentionally press in, push forward, aggressively go after the things of God. I have to do that all the time. You can ask my wife. It's not a struggle, but it's a constant intent to go after a relationship with her, with my children, those things that are good, those things that are right, those things that are pure, those things that are honest, those things that are genuine, and those things that are of God. We have to go after them. You sit back, and I'm telling you, if you sit back and do nothing, guess what you're going to do? You're going to float down the worldly stream and get caught up in everything that is of the world and of the devil. I am here to say that that happens. So this idea of worship and work being put together and into my life that I have to go after, there's a blessing and a benefit behind it that far exceeds anything that I could ever imagine, anything I could dream up, anything I could muster up, but it's total effort on my part to go after. That's why he says it. He says it. He says it in a way that's like, it's always been one of those verses in Hebrews that he says, go after every intent. In fact, he says it, that it says, seek to go after the rest of God. Go after resting in God. Go after it hard. Hello? How does that even work? How does that work as an American? It doesn't. It doesn't work in my vocabulary, in my understanding, so I have to trust that God, the Holy Spirit, is saying, you must seek Him. You must go after Him with everything that is in you. And the blessings and benefit that come with it are going to far exceed anything that you can get on your own. So I'm going to get into this even deeper because it's fabulous. And I got like another half page of this note and then a whole other page. So isn't it even hard work to sit still? But he tells us to be still and know that he is God. Most of us, it's difficult to just sit still and rest in the loving arms of God, right? Hello? Does anybody else have that issue? Yeah, we do, isn't it? Alfonso sends out a thing about spending a message, and I love it, fabulous. I actually like look into it and say, oh man, that's good stuff. And I steal stuff every now and then. One of them was about spending time with God this morning, about how it's almost like there's this place that everything in us, everything is out there steals that time that we get to spend with God. And the effort that we've got to make to spend time with God, there's even repentance of spending time in things that are not of God. And so there's this, all this is involved in that. And that is effort. That's work. To rest in God, to spend time with God. Hello? You guys with me on that? Yeah, we all are. Work is always serving. So for the worshiper of God, for the Christian, the believer in Jesus, we are always at service to God. We are always serving God. And whatever you do, and this again in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So work is an essential part of our makeup. We were created in the image of God. God is a worker, so we're created to do work. Do you guys remember back in the garden? If you don't remember, I'll just kind of just take you back there for a second. In Genesis, verse 15 of chapter 2. God put them in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. I know a lot of times I have actually come up with a conclusion that because of the curse, because of the fall of man, Now God said, because you have obeyed your wife, and that's kind of the word that he actually used, because you listened to your wife. Yeah, that was just referring to Adam and Eve. What God says to me, because you didn't listen to your wife, here's what you get. Here's the consequence. It's a little backwards for me. I guess I do things backwards. Part of the curse was that it was basically the toil. You were going to have to work the ground, and it was going to cause you to sweat. It was going to be difficult. It's going to be a struggle. And so that curse that we're under isn't the curse to actually have to go to work. So we're not saying, well, I'm breaking the curse, and I'm just going to sit and do nothing and let God just give me everything I need and go. I don't know where you're going to sit and do that, but you can sit and do that somewhere. But that's not what the curse is referring to. Basically, that it's going to be a struggle. Here's what I want to advocate before I get into the next situation, because they're the next part of my notes. And this is what I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking, not just to me, but to all of us here. The aspect of work in our everyday life, it's a huge part of our life. And yes, it's a part of the fall, it's a part of the curse, but it's also a part of the original plan that God had for us. Hello, you guys following me with this? So if the difficult part of work is a part of the curse and part of the fall, didn't Jesus do something absolutely fantastic and amazing and wonderful? Didn't Jesus, when he allowed himself to be nailed on the cross, didn't that work that he did annihilate the curse? Didn't that work destroy the curse? Hello? Absolutely it did. You guys with me? Okay, so if that's the truth and if that's the case, what is our duty, our calling, our perspective, our walk in this? If God has done a fantastic work, Jesus has finished it, it's done, he's doing the restoring work in me, then do I have any right as now a restored, renewed, born-again believer in Jesus to consider work as this drudging thing that I have to do every day? You know, I don't know how many times, you realize, if I talk to you about your work, I could instantly identify where you are at spiritually. Instantly, like that. If you say these terms, I could tell where you're at. Hanging in there. Living the dream. I'm here. How many of you have said those? How are you today? Well, I'm here. Yeah, you guys laughed because you guys thought it, said it. That's a part of the fallen man. Why do we identify ourselves with that? Because it's what it is. Yeah. It's the drudgery of work. And I'm telling you, I believe it with everything in me. I've worked in construction for a lot of years of my life. I've worked in other jobs for other years, but I've done a lot of grueling, laborsome jobs. And I know I tell people, about, yeah, I used to be in stucco and as a hod carrier and stuff and as a plasterer. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's like one of the most daunting, difficult jobs that I know that exists. And it's like, well, I think that there's others that are just as hard, if not harder. And, you know, but I got to tell you that the Lord, as he renewed me, the summer I started working, I went to a football camp and I got saved. I met Jesus. Jesus rescued me and he started restoring me to the new man that I'm supposed to be, that he's called me to be. I started instantly realizing that I couldn't look at my job as this cursed, drudging thing I have to do every day. Instead, I started seeing it as an opportunity, as a blessing. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm sitting there stuccoing a wall. I'm literally talking to the wall. It's a wall. It is a literal wall, and I'm talking to it. Well, it did in the sense that God was speaking to me through it. So it talked back to me, and I had nice conversations, me and the wall. Hello? How many of you have good conversations? Do you have conversations with your steering wheel? Yeah, you do. I know you do. And God was always encouraging me and giving me a spirit of this is a blessing. This is an opportunity, and I just would love it. And then I'd be so thankful for the privilege of being able to do work, to be able to, and for the body, the health, the stamina, to be able to do this thing. Thanking God, and He would instill within me, I'm sharing this as a personal thing, He would instill within me a strength to far exceed anything. The hours and the times and the days, it's like I still look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was insane. And I would say, it's a young man's job and this and that, and I still do it all already. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's the strength of the Lord in the joy of doing work for the glory of God that people saw something different. People saw something different. And I'm going to tell you guys, and that's why I'm just going to get right to this other part of my message. And then, you know, you're here. You're here. That means you're listening. I've got your attention for a few minutes. Six workings of God working in you at your workplace. Six workings of God working in you at your workplace. And again, from your perspective of where your workplace is, retired, you got a vocation, you're a stay-at-home parent, you're a student. Student? Come on, let me hear it from the students. Oh, that was lame. That was lame. Yay, that school's almost out. Yay, how about school being out? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, I got to confess and I got to repent of something publicly. A couple weeks ago, I was speaking and as I was taking Devin to the airport to take him back. So he's going back down to college, you know, that place where he's at all the time. Costs a lot of money, do a lot of work to pay for it. He said, Dad, that was a really great message, but I got to tell you, you really got to be careful. You cannot in any way, shape, or form, and you should not ever, ever demean what kids like to do now. Don't ever make it and belittle it and make it an evil thing, what kids enjoy to do publicly. So I humbly apologize. I came across as though video games were this waste of time, and they're just, and so I apologize to all the kids. Let me go through these six really fast. Let me go as fast as I possibly can, okay? And then one last phrase, and it's, there are scriptures. I don't think, I got all these tabs in my Bible. I don't think I've gone to them yet, so be prepared. God is using your workplace to direct us, to direct our faith. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18. God is using your workplace to direct your faith. So many times there's like these, when it comes to doing work, it seems so meaningless and seems so just like the daunting every day. And even in ministry work, church work, it's like there's just this meaningless, daunting task. And I believe it to be something that God is using you in your workplace, working in you in your workplace, because so many things in Scripture apply to the part of the workplace, the everyday things, the being faithful in the small things, being genuine, being a person of integrity. Those are part of your faith that you claim to walk in, that He's using the opportunities in your workplace to direct that faith and challenge you to grow in that faith. Hello? Let's own that. Let's walk in that. And let's just identify it and say, okay, this is an opportunity. Sometimes there's tests involved. Sometimes there's challenges. Sometimes it's just the, man, I got to do this every single day. And I remember I was super young. Rob and I just got married. And I remember having a bad attitude about having to get up so stinking early every single day. And she just looked at me, I think, one morning. At least this is how I remember it. She might remember it a little bit different. But I remember it as like, this is her just saying, well, don't you realize you got to do this every day of your life? You might as well enjoy it. I'm like, well, she was right. She was right. It was one of those times that I go back, you know, that's a good time to listen to your wife. She sees you as you probably really are. We must allow the workplace to direct us in our faith. And then number two, God is using your workplace to direct our hearts. Listen to this. When our heart is not in our work, when we're beaten down, when we're uninspired, when we're tempted to just give up, or just say, what's the point? God is looking for that moment in your heart to challenge you, to inspire your heart. He's looking that for that moment to use you, to use you. And so it's challenging on our heart, that our gut, you know, that inner working of us, our work is ultimately done. Remember, work is a part of worship and it's a part of service. It's done so that, you know, part of, yeah, the work that we do can pay the bills, can provide the things that we need to, it can help people. Because more than a lot of times, a lot of us in this room, there's many of us in this room that are very generous in helping in what we do here. That's a part of the work of God. God is using that to challenge our hearts, to trust Him, to focus on Him, to direct our hearts. Remember, it's in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. These are paths that God is using your workplace to direct it. So this is in our heart to trust Him. Our work is ultimately done for people around us for the glory of God. Number three, God is using your workplace to direct our hands. Our hands are the instruments of our heart. Think about that. They express outwardly what we believe inwardly. In other words, they do what's in our heart. Our mouth speaks what's in our heart. Our hands do what's in our heart. Our work is ultimately an offering to God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's this stuff here. You know, the physical stuff, our hands, our feet, as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's your work to do. Hello? Number four, God is using your workplace to direct your love, passions, that which you care about. It's not just what we do, but even how we do it. How we do it, it's so much time it's about our attitudes, right? It comes down to those phrases that we use in regard to speaking of our work. Allow those things that you speak about your work is to identify what's in your heart about your work and maybe your passion about your work. Here's the thing is the fruits of the Spirit, those things that come out of us, what are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Did those just apply here on Sunday morning? The question was a rhetorical question because you knew the answer. It doesn't just apply to here. Where does it stick? Where should it apply most? Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday when I'm tired, Friday bringing glory to God for the, I think they call that the end of the work week. I don't know. I've heard about that from certain people, but it doesn't work for me. Number five. God is using your workplace to direct your mind. To direct your mind. That's pretty awesome. In Romans 12:2, jump there real fast. Jump there real fast. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's kind of like you guys know I say this a whole lot because I believe it to be true, is if God is into the little things such as driving, He's using those as an opportunities to get your mind on the things of God, to get your heart right in the things of God, to test you in the challenges of the things of God, to bring about the stuff that is in my flesh and bring it about to where there's transforming work in my life, the transforming by the renewing of my mind. Do you think that He's using your job, the things, not just here on Sunday morning, not just this 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever that preacher, pastor guy speaks to you, that's really just a small glitch. If this is all you're getting and this is all that you're learning from God, then you're missing a whole lot of other opportunities that God wants to do the transforming work in your mind every day at work, wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I agree with that. Even if it's by myself, I do agree with that. Number six, this is good. Man, this is the best one, and I'm just going to take the time to do it because I believe this is where I believe that God has called us as Christians in the church today to be, is God is using your workplace to direct our witness, to direct your witness. This is a fantastic passage. It's Titus chapter 2. Let's go there. I'm actually going to go there and read it. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 9. Listen to this. It says, I exhort you, bondservants. And I'm going to just real quick, really fast, take about 30 seconds. Bondservant is a worker, an employee. I exhort you, bondservants, to be obedient to your bosses, your lead, your advisors, that person that is over you, your masters, to be well-pleasing in all things. Not answering back. Hello? Kids, you know what it means to not answer back? Yeah. What? What does it mean?
Don't be a smart aleck.
Do you hear it? Don't be a smart aleck. I don't know who Alec is, but I'm sure he's pretty smart, because he seems to be get called that a lot. But don't be a smart aleck. I like that. Man, these kids are on point. Just think about it. Let that soak in for a second. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting work, the abrasive, gritty work of having that attitude in the workplace. Amen. Be pleasing in all things. Have an intention to be a pleasing, a pleasant, not just workman or work fellow, but a fellow worker to your fellow workers. Man, that's so awesome. Yeah, that means doing the jobs that probably they're trying to get out of and they actually don't want to do, but you being that person that is saying, yeah, I'll go in and do that. I'll do that. Christians, you no longer have the right to only work to the level of your pay. Hear that. Hear that loud and clear. Loud and clear. You, as a follower of Jesus, you do not have the privilege and the right to work to the level of your pay. Yeah, the world does. And I know I've worked with hundreds of guys that they will only work to the level of their pay. In other words, they will not do anything above and beyond, extra, that is not either written down or expected of me at my job. Christians, yes, I'm saying that. I'm saying that. I know some of you that's like a little bit, you're going to be like, no, I have good reasons not to do that. I'm sure you do. As a Christian, as a follower and a disciple of Jesus, you don't have any more good reasons. And then he says this. He says, not, verse 10, not pilfering. In other words, you know, stealing. And how do we steal from work? Two good ways to steal. One is you steal product. The other is you steal time. In other words, on the clock, on the clock. So it's not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. In other words, integrity. Being that which you claim to be, even to where it's in front of people or even when people aren't looking. Yeah. I was challenged when I was working, and I'll share it, because when I was working, it's a challenge for everybody. I believe it. And I believe this is the struggle of converting the old man, the old way, and being renewed in my new spirit and doing things for the glory of Jesus, even when nobody's looking. Even when nobody's looking. Hello? Hello? That's the best time to put it into practice, when nobody's looking. When I first started going into ministry, actually the last about year of my working in stucco, my boss was putting me into this field of basically remodel work, fix-ups, punch list work. That's what it was called. So I was just constantly going to job to job to job to job to job to job to job, driving around fixing stuff that some of the other crews missed. And, you know, the time we started, my boss's company started with he and I. He was 23 and I was 16. He and I were the only two workers. He hired me as a 16-year-old kid, and I came in and we built that company. I say we because I believe it was the glory of God. I was constantly giving God glory. He saw it. He said, man, if you have any of those other, if you know any other Christians that need a job, if they're like you, bring them on board. And so I did a lot of them, and man, so many of them didn't pan out. But Anyways, and so I was challenged with this. No longer did I have a crew of six or eight guys. Instead, I was by myself. And there was the challenge. If you guys, I could just do whatever I want. And claim all these hours and just drive around and say, oh, yeah, that was fine. And just not even fix stuff. And the Lord just constantly was saying, you are answering to me. And that's what he says here. Listen to this, because he says it. This is showing all good fidelity, integrity, that they, that means all, anybody that's watching, your boss, your co-workers, anybody that's watching, they may adorn the doctrine of God. Do you hear that? Oh, listen to this. Listen. You at your workplace have the responsibility, to make Jesus look good. Hey, did you hear me? No, I need an amen.
Amen.
You have the responsibility to make Jesus, the gospel, look good. You have that responsibility to make Jesus look good. So where they say, wow, that's different. You're different. You don't have the hanging in there, this job sucks, my boss is cheating me attitude everywhere I go. That's what he says there. That's what I wanted to get to more than anything in this message. All of that, hear this. Because we have that responsibility. And I'm just going to go on and finish it up, and then we'll be done here in a second. They may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Jesus, it cost His life to save your soul. Not so that you could go to work and be a butthead. I'm serious. And then claim to be a Christian on top of that. But then he says this, verse 11, says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Just let that bask, let that soak into your spirit what your work is called to do. That God is working in your workplace, this in you, to show Jesus to others, to your coworkers, to your boss, to your family, to your children, to your parents, to everybody in your life. What you do at your job matters. How you do your job matters. Who you do your job for matters. It matters for eternity. This is a bonus. Bonus number 7. I said 6, but I got a bonus one. Number 7. And this is one I could say I have walked in and God has done in me and through me. Hello? Listen to this. God is using you in your workplace to give you joy. If you apply the doctrine of God working in you in your workplace, I believe it with everything in me because I've walked in it. He will give you joy in your work. And he's using your workplace as an opportunity to fill you with his joy. What does Nehemiah 8:10 say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. What do you need strength for? To do work. Hello? To do work. You don't need strength to sit on a recliner. You need strength to do his work. Hello? And so the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need his strength to work, so let us give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. It is not for nothing. And worship God, listen, this is his last little statement, worship God by getting to work. And remember this, Jesus said it in John 9:4, he said this, Jesus said these words, we must work the works that he sent us to do. During the day, for the night is coming when no one can work. That's what he said. Jesus said that. Get to work. Do the work. Glorifying to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do just, even as we come up to worship you, we invite you, Holy Spirit, not that you aren't already here speaking to us and through us, but Lord, we invite you now to do a deeper inner work as we lift your name up and praise your name and worship you with our song, with our instrument, that you would do a completing work by speaking so loudly and clearly to us that this moment will carry through for this afternoon and all the way into tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name, may we glorify you. May everything we do and everything we say be in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that may, I ask that you give us an opportunity. There's someone out there this week that's going to look at my life, that's going to see, that's going to be looking for something and be in need of you. Give me the opportunity and even the privilege of making you look good to where they'll be drawn to you and they'll want to say yes to you, Jesus. And that eternity will be for them because they've seen you, Jesus, in me. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity. Hallelujah to your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.